A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Late Night Alternative with Catherine Boyle. Speech Radio with a difference. Talk Radio.
Oh 344-499-1000. This is a late night alternative. I'm Catherine Boyle. We're talking about all sorts, from real friends that you make online to secret languages you have with animals. Come on, if you've got a pet, I know you've probably worked out how to talk to them. It's not always with words. God, that sounded creepier than it needed to, didn't it? 03444991000 if you want to give me a ring. We're talking about all kinds of stuff. I mean, the reason I'm talking about talking to animals is apparently if you stare at a seagull, it's less likely to nick your chips. So there's a tip for you. Hang on. Baby, can't you see? How's this happening? I'm calling a girl like you. How's that happening when my fader's down? That's actually nuts. Oh. Okay, I think next door's fader's possessed. It's right down here. Absolutely mad. I've got the right person on the line to talk about it, though, because Catherine's there. You're spooky, Catherine, aren't you?
Yeah.
Did you hear that? My fader was right down and you could hear some delicious music.
I did hear that. Oh.
Thanks for giving me a ring. What have you got?
Well, I wanted to relay to you a story that happened to my brother. It is true, honestly. My brother is very... he's deceased now, but he was a real Jack the Lad, from the East End of London. He used to be a driver for the Cray twins. So he didn't take anything seriously. But he was in and out of jail for quite a lot. I mean, my mum disowned him. That's how bad it was. So he went into Pentonville. And they put him in a cell, and they normally sort of ask you the basic questions, one of which is, what's your religion? And he said, you know, well, I don't believe in anything, but I was raised a Catholic.
Right.
And they said, right, okay, we've got a priest, you know, would you like to talk to him? My brother said, well, you know, whatever you want, don't care. So this priest came in. There's two bunks in this cell. My brother sat on one, and the priest sat on the other one. And he was opposite him. And he was asking him all these questions, but he was wringing his hands all the time, this priest, and he had his head down, looking at the floor.
Right.
And he says to my brother, oh, do you, if you don't believe, do you believe in the devil and all that? And my brother said, well, no, not really. He said, because, you know, I don't believe in God. Why should I believe in the devil and all this sort of stuff? And he said, well, okay, he said, so where do you think your soul goes afterwards? And my brother got really uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable. Don't blame him. Can't get away from that.
No. And he said to him, look, Father, because he was very respectful, he said, look, Father, I don't want to talk about all this. I don't believe in it. Don't talk. I just don't want to talk to it.
Yeah.
And the priest said, well, I think you should talk about it. It's very important. And he lifted his head and his eyes were glowing red.
No, stop it.
I swear to you, my brother does not frighten easily. He does not frighten easily. Well, he didn't frighten easily at all. And he said to my brother, look, Francis and all that. And my brother was going mental looking for a guard. And in the end, the guard came along and my brother said, get him out of my cell. Just get him out of my cell. And, of course, they brought the priest out of the cell, by which time there was nothing wrong with the priest. His eyes were fine. But my brother never forgot it and never, ever, ever allowed the priest to be called to him because he was just living in terror.
God.
You know? And I never forget the look on his face. And he only ever told you the story when he'd had a drink. Because that's the only time I think he had the good luck or strength of character to tell the story. He wouldn't tell it when he was sober. But that's a true story. He was absolutely terrified with this priest.
That is like the stuff of nightmares and
it is.
Horror
it
films.
Is. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, whether or not, I don't know who he was, I don't know, you know, what he was doing or anything in that place. But I know that he went to my brother and that was it. You know, my brother never forgot it, ever.
God. I mean, well, the scientific thing, you know, if it happened,
yeah.
You know, I'm taking your word for it, but
yeah.
It could be that your brother was in, you know, in shock or...
Exactly. I mean, we don't know.
Something going on, but that's flipping awful.
Yeah.
What a thing.
But he really didn't.
And he was convinced it happened?
Oh, without a doubt. And he does, he's not the type of person, he wasn't the type of person, as I say, to make things up or to get scared of stuff. My brother did not frighten. He was the type of bloke who would stand up to anyone and have a fight. So he just did not frighten. But to see him talk about this experience, whether there was more to it and he never told us, I don't know.
Yeah.
But he certainly, definitely believed it happened.
Yeah, something happened to him in that cell, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
How long was he in prison, Catherine?
Yeah.
How long?
6 months.
Right.
He was in and out all the time. You know, he was used to it.
How much older was he than you, or is he your kid brother?
Oh, no, he was way older than me.
Right.
He was probably about 30 years older than me.
30?
Yeah. My mum had 10 children.
Flipping heck.
Yeah. Yeah, nice big Irish family.
She must have been some woman.
Yeah, she was. She was a force to be reckoned with, my mum. She didn't have to shout or raise her hand. She just looked at you and you stopped immediately.
Right. And was your dad about?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was very quiet. My dad was anything for a quiet life.
Don't blame him with 10 kids.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he took on 9 and then they had me. So right. 10.
Oh, right. So he was your dad, but not the 9?
No. No.
Wow. But, I mean, that is something to take on, isn't it?
Uh-huh. Yeah, he did. He was a good soul, my dad. Very, very good person. But like all the Irish boys, liked his drink.
Right.
Which didn't help.
I bet.
But
So your mum was like the kind of...
she was a matriarch,
definitely. The matriarch, that's the word I was reaching for.
Yeah, she was definitely the one in charge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Some woman. So how are you keeping, Catherine?
Oh, I'm all right. I'm not too bad. My toe's all healed up now, so the amputation went well.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm back to walking. So it's all good.
Does it feel different?
Doesn't feel different. I feel like I've still got it, funnily enough.
Does it itch?
Yeah. And it pains sometimes. It really pains.
Oh, my God. How do you sort that out?
I've got really strong painkillers for the cancer. I've got liquid morphine.
Right.
Off.
Well, that's going to help then, isn't it?
Yeah. So, yeah, it does. Sometimes it feels funny, but the majority of the time, it's okay.
Does it completely knock you out, the morphine?
Sometimes it does. But because I'm on a cocktail of drugs, the others don't help.
Right.
Because they all sort of mix together.
The only thing I know about that stuff is when my grandma had cancer, she was on that, and it spaced her out.
Yeah, it can
do.
But
she was seeing all sorts.
Yeah, well, when they first gave it to me, they gave me, in a hospital, they gave me an overdose of it. And I woke up, I swear to you, everything around me was a World War One field hospital.
Oh, blimey.
I could see the doctors and nurses in the uniforms, the long, you know, with the long skirts and the big poofy hats, and it terrified me, and I wouldn't take it again. And they said, "Oh, you know, we've got to try and get the dose right." But thankfully, they got the dose right.
That stuff, you know,
it is horrible. I mean, I tend to take it only when it's absolutely necessary and when I'm in real, real pain.
Yeah, last resort.
Yeah, because otherwise, you don't know what these things are doing to you, you know, and I'm always scared of them. I mean, I would never take anything like the diazepam stuff or Prozac or anything like that because they are really dangerous drugs. So I really would not touch them.
Yeah, we get people ringing this show all the time. We can't stop taking them once they start.
Well, that's it. That's it. And the diazepams, I think. I mean, I remember reading a story as well about Prozac. A woman was on it for 2 days and she went with a knife and held up her gas station in America.
What?
Yeah.
I thought Prozac was supposed to chill you out.
Yeah, and I thought, no, I'm not taking that. So we've managed to get the dosage right with the Oromorph. So we'll just keep it as and when. I think that's the best thing, because otherwise you tend to rely on it too much.
What's the situation now with your treatment?
Well, I couldn't have the treatment while I was in hospital because of the amputation, and I had to be on liquid intravenous antibiotics. So I was in there all over Christmas. I came out in... January. I came out in February, and then I was on flat bed rest. So the local nurses were coming out to me, and then that stopped in June.
God, I bet you were bored out of your mind, weren't you?
I am. I mean, it's lucky I'm a reader. I'm a real avid reader. It was very lucky, and Alexa was a godsend because I got her for Christmas and I listened to talk radio, which is brilliant. So, but it just, it lasted, and then it ended in June, and so now I'm waiting to be put back on the chemotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to have a CT scan, a heart scan, and blood tests before I can have the treatment.
Right.
And the CT scan is the one that I'm scared of, because that's the one that tells you whether it's spread.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm really terrified of.
Yeah.
But I'm just waiting for my doctor, my consultant now, oncologist, to get in touch with me.
Yeah, you kind of go from one appointment to the next. You can't really think too much further than that, I expect.
Drive yourself mental. I mean, if you thought, I'm pessimistic sometimes. I do think to myself, will I be here for Christmas and all that sort of stuff? But my husband's brilliant. He's really one of the best, you know, and he's very, very supportive.
Yeah.
So I'm lucky in that way. But it doesn't stop me thinking.
No, and you've got plenty of time to do that as well.
Exactly.
If you're on bed rest.
Yeah, exactly. So, but other than that, everything's tickety-boo.
Good.
And there are people a lot worse off than me.
Well, I mean, that's what you have to tell yourself.
Well, you do. You look at the little kids in hospital. They don't have a chance. They've been born with it.
I know.
They haven't even had a life. You know, and that distresses me terribly.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at it, because, you know, I was... My birthday yesterday, I was 54.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you. And I thought, you know what? I've had 54 years on this planet. These little kids have not even had a day out of hospital. you know.
I know. Do you know what? That's one of the reasons I don't believe in God anymore.
Yeah, it's very hard to. I mean, I cling on to my faith like, oh, like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah.
But it is very difficult, and I understand people when I see them with their little babies. I couldn't imagine going through that.
No, I've got a friend who they started their family really early.
Yeah.
Kind of accidentally, right? And there were the kids in school that everyone thought, oh, they haven't got a chance, what they're doing, they're idiots. And of course, they're the ones that have got the strongest marriage and the strongest partnership, and they've had, you know, quite a few kids since the first one.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was no accident, really. They were supposed to be together.
Exactly, yeah.
But their second child didn't make it, and he was very ill from being really little. And they're really kind of, really very strong Christian faith. And I had the conversation with them about it. I said, how can you believe after all you've been through with that poor baby? And they said, well...
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, this is the way they justify it. And, if it works for them, that's great. But they said that they believe he was like a teaching soul, and he was there to show them, you know, the power of faith and all that.
Yeah.
A teaching soul, imagine.
My mum was a very strong Catholic, but when, because we lost our older brother when he was 42, he died in his sleep, and then she lost her faith completely. She wouldn't talk to anyone about it because she just believed there was no God that could take her son away. And then 6 months she lasted and she died, and then 6 months my dad lasted and he died.
God.
You know, so I was left in the house on my own.
It's funny about people that go shortly after losing someone that they love that much. It's like they sort of give up, don't they?
Yeah, it is. My dad definitely gave up because he adored my mum. They would argue like cat and dog, but they adored each other.
Mine are a bit like that. Do you know what it is with my mum and dad? It's not strong arguments, it's just bickering, right?
That's it. That's exactly right.
But there were always kids around, and I think what's happened is now there aren't kids in the house.
Yeah.
That's just what they do.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my mum was typical Irish. She'd walk past my dad and say, "Are you still breathing?" You know, things like that. But they didn't spend a night apart.
No.
You know, it was only when she took a massive stroke.
Yeah.
Was she taken into hospital? That was the only time.
What do you know about the dad of the nine kids? What happened there?
He was an Irishman, and he came over to England. He was a gardener, and he came over to England to take a job at Victoria Park as a groundskeeper.
Right.
And he was 42. He was going to work one day, and he got to the top of the steps of Bethnal Green tube station and collapsed and died of a massive heart attack.
Good God.
Mm.
And there's that 42 again. So she lost a husband at 42 and a son at 42.
Yeah.
Poor woman.
Yeah, she. Oh, yeah. And then because she was in Ireland at the time, so she came over here because obviously he had a tied house and everything with mm-hmm. Vicky Park. And she moved into that. And she just, I think she worked about four jobs to keep kids.
Well, this is it. We've got nine kids. It's
yeah, but they couldn't do that today. They couldn't do that today. They would be absolutely gobsmacked.
How did she manage with the? Obviously, childcare was something else back then. I'm imagining the older kids looked after the little ones.
They did, and my auntie came over.
Right.
And she lived with them, but unfortunately. It doesn't sound like we had any fun, but we did, I assure you.
It sounds very Victorian.
Yeah, she had my auntie had a what they now know as an epileptic fit, but they didn't know then. So they took her into an asylum and gave her cold baths and gave her electric shock treatment. And this was a woman who was so used to coping for herself. She used to go abroad on her own and go to the theatres and all that.
Wow, that's like a proper modern woman, that.
Yeah.
So and what, this treatment destroyed her, I'm imagining?
Completely. She died in the asylum.
God, Catherine.
We couldn't get her out. They wouldn't allow it. So they had to have a signatory who was a parent. Well, none of the parents were alive. Yeah, she died in the asylum. It was awful.
It's incredible. What are we talking, 1940s, 50s?
Yeah. Yep, 50s. But you see, you've got to realise she was taken into one of the Magdalen asylums.
Ah.
So she was really badly treated in there.
Yeah, and I imagine being quite a strong, forthright woman didn't go down very well.
No, not at all. Not at all. So... But my mum was always strong, and she was always, you knock her down, she gets up. I mean, she got scarlet fever at the age of, I don't know, 25 or something. She had three kids then, and they said, you'll never walk again. And she said, oh, I'll walk. She said, I've got children. And she used to drag herself out of bed, which is practically unheard of. You wouldn't do that, you know. But she was a strong woman, very strong.
God.
She ran two businesses at the end.
Did she? What was she doing?
Well, one was an antique shop and one was what you'd call a second-hand furniture shop. But the second-hand furniture shop kept the antique shop going.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, because people are less intimidated by second-hand furniture than they are about antiques, yeah.
Yeah, of course they are. But she always made a living and she always had a house for her kids. She would never have social services round or anything like that. She just went out and she made a living. I don't know how she did it, but she did it.
She's one of that generation that didn't want to ask for help and they didn't want anyone else interfering.
No, they didn't. That's right. So she was a good person.
What was her name?
Kathleen. Yeah. Yeah. And my grandmother was French. I've been doing my family history for 2 years now.
Have you?
Yeah, because she had a brother called Michael who died in the trenches at the age of 18. And I think I've found him. I think I've located him to a hospital in France.
It's so hard, isn't it? I don't know whether things have changed. I know when Jeans Reunited first came out, I had a little stab at trying to find... Because my grandma that died was it last year, year before now? God, it seems really fresh, but it isn't. Her dad disappeared when she and her brothers and sisters were quite small. And the last she remembers, again, this is an Irishman, and we've got a picture of him when he was engaged to my great-grandma in a World War One uniform that was too big. I mean, but he looks a spitting image of my dad and looks like me. It's quite spooky.
Yeah.
And then, but he disappeared. We don't know what it was, because obviously my grandma Lillian was too young to be told the ins and outs of what had been going on. My great-grandma never remarried, but the last thing my grandma Lillian remembers of her dad was him finding her in the street while she was playing out and giving her a note and saying, take this to your mum. And then when she came back, she said, my mum says no. And he said, she won't let me come home. And that was the last she saw of her dad ever. And that story is just heartbreaking.
Oh, that's so sad.
Really heartbreaking. And all the way to, towards the end, we were trying to find him, but of course it's really difficult.
I'll tell you something, if you had relatives born in Southern Ireland, it's impossible because Cromwell burnt all the records.
It's
all the parish churches.
It's that, and looking up, you know, surnames. For example, trying to find the other side of the family, trying to find a Boyle, Boyle that came over at the turn of the century. I mean, take your pick. It could have been any of them.
Exactly, exactly. But I thought, I mean, we had a situation in the East End of London where my two brothers were playing with their friend on the roof of a building, and the roof collapsed, and my two brothers were injured, but their friend, a guy called Tommy Jitterbug, was killed. And my mum used to carry a little piece of paper of the newspaper story because it was in the News of the World. So I said to Stuart, my husband Stuart, I said, I need to go to Colindale, to the National Archives of Newspapers, and see if I can find this bit of paper because it's all faded now.
Yeah.
Went in there, said to the lady, you know, I'm looking for this. She said, well, is there anything unusual? And I said, well, the boy that died, his name was unusual. So I told her. She came out. It had made every national newspaper.
Was it like a bomb site or something they were playing
in? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, they were supposed to, the government was supposed to have, or the council was supposed to have knocked the building.
Right.
But they left it. And it turned out that they took all of this to Parliament about these bomb sites being, I mean, it was amazing. I thought it was just going to be a little clip in the paper. But I've got all of that now. And I spoke to the lady because they took a big photograph of my mum and the boys and the girls. So it was like a family photograph. And we had it, but it had been ruined because it had been folded over the years. So she sent it to me. She said, I'll send it to you in a pristine copy. And I said, thank you. And I got this envelope and I got the picture. And then there was a little note from her saying, don't know if you'd like this. And it was a picture that no one had ever seen of my mum and my brother that was injured.
Wow.
And all my brothers are tough.
Yeah.
And I sent it to him for his birthday and said, this is just for you. And his wife phoned me and she said, I've been married to him for 35 years and I've never seen him cry. She said, this morning he opened that bloody picture, she said, and he ain't stopped.
No.
And I thought, oh, my God, I hope he's all right, you know. But power of photographs.
Yeah, and you know what? We didn't take as many photographs back then.
No.
It was a special occasion. You dress up, wouldn't you?
I was always the one that took the photographs. Hardly anybody else took photographs in my family.
I've been to see some of Danny Baker's shows, and I know in his books as well he says the same thing. He says, I look at the photos we've got, and we've got like one picture of the whole family together, and the rest of the time we'd take photos on holiday and we'd be taking a picture of a flipping sheep or a church or something.
Yeah.
And I'd be thinking, turn the bloody camera around.
Yeah, it's difficult. It's absolutely typical. But trying to locate your family, I love it. I love it when a piece comes together and you just think, oh, wow, that's it, another puzzle.
Yeah.
And then I sat here with my sister a month ago and told her how far up I was and that I might have found Michael. And she said to me, oh, good, you can have a look for Maisie.
Oh, another one.
I said, who's Maisie? She said, oh, she was Mum's twin sister.
What?
She died. And I thought, do you know what? I could have strangled her. I really could have done. I thought, you've known I've been doing this for like past 5 years, and it's only now that you tell me about Maisie. But so that's another one to look for now.
Blimey, well, you're going to be busy, Catherine.
I will.
Hey, it's been a real pleasure talking to you tonight. I'm glad we've had a bit more time.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, thank you. And it's been lovely talking to you because you're very sympathetic and you've got a very reassuring way about you.
Oh, so thanks. Thank
it's
you.
It's lovely.
All right.
Did he find his passport?
Yeah, he did. He went away. And we're talking about Ian, of course.
Yes.
He went away and he's taken the boys to gladiator school. They've been to a pizza making workshop. They've not stopped. They've been having the most wonderful time.
Yeah, they'll love it. They'll love Italy. Rome is fantastic.
Do you know what? He's making some brilliant memories with them. And, you know, it's been a tough time. And I'm really pleased to see him enjoying life the way he is
exactly.
at the moment.
Exactly. I was going to say to him before he went, if he goes to the St. Peter's Square on a Wednesday, he can hear Papa preach because he preaches every Wednesday that he's in situ.
I think they were fighting each other at the gladiator school when Papa was preaching today.
Oh, that's what it is, you see. That's what it is.
Anyway, you know where I am, Catherine, if you want to chat.
Thank you.
Take care of yourself.
Night-night. Yeah, you too. Bye.
Bye-bye. 03444991000. This is a Late Night Alternative.
The Late Night Alternative with Catherine Boyle. Speech Radio with a difference. Talk Radio.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.